Right, so this is the Escape Artist Podcast, and today we have a special guest, Mr. Jim Lujan. How you doing?
Hey there, how's it going, man? Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, man, anytime. It's an honor. I was a huge fan of the what was it, the Ghettomation, right?
Yeah, Ghettomation.
Yeah, man, I wish that podcast was still around. What is that, you think that'll ever come back or
Well, we're all friends, so I'm sure one day we'll do something fun.
Possibilities always there.
Yeah, why not?
Cool. It's really cool to have you on, and I was just I guess what I should do is first of all, have you kind of tell everybody about yourself and what you do. I think a lot of the people who listen to my podcast might already know who you are, but it's always better safe than sorry, right?
Sure. Okay. Here, let me get into self-promotion mode now. Here we go. I'm an independent animator, and I've been doing cartoons since the late 90s. My style, if easy way to describe my style is sort of Mike Judge-ish, which is a great comparison because I really like Mike Judge. But I do all of, for most of the part, I do all the voices, the music, and drawings, and sounds, and everything for my cartoons. However, I do use guest stars. I love using guest stars. And as things progress, I'm adding people here and there, kind of assembling a little crew of regulars. But for the most part, I've done everything myself, like the voices and stuff myself. And it's all funny stuff, all humorous. And the best way to describe my cartoons are, for the most part, are like little movies. So they're not really like single gag cartoons. They're more like little mini epic movies, and they're funny, I think.
I remember that description. You always called them mini epics, and it's a perfect description for them for sure. I actually in preparation for the show, and I've been wanting to watch it anyways for a while. Finally, watched the Counterclockwise Foreverland full movie type thing that you did. Wow, like talk about mini epic. That's more of a big epic.
Yeah, that was so much fun doing that movie. It's my first foray into science fiction, and it came very natural because it's kind of a real silly, funky science fiction. It's very much like The Wiz meets Flash Gordon or something like, or Star Wars or something like that. And so it's still a Jim Lujan cartoon. It still has really weird characters saying funny things, but it's got this whole space vibe, this whole funky Parliament funkadelic type space vibe to it, and
Right.
it just came very natural. The movie was very relatively easy to make, and I made it in small little doses, so it was it just before I knew it, I had almost an hour of material.
Wow.
It was fun.
That's crazy. So was that something that Counterclockwise approached you about, or did you, where was it just a collaborative thing that you came up with together, or?
Yeah, I did three music videos for them, and then I'd always said to Deacon and Kaya, "Oh, we should do a movie one day. We should do a movie one day." And then one day when we were on the Fanboy Radio show, they had just announced it, like, "We're doing a movie!" And I was like, "Okay, yeah, we're doing a movie." So I wanted to do it anyways, and I'm glad they did announce it because that forced me to actually do it.
Right.
And we didn't. I mean, I had an idea of what I wanted to do, like a story, but I knew that I didn't want to write a script. Besides being extremely lazy, I just didn't want to box them in. You know what I mean? Like, you have to say this, 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 this. So what I did is I came up with a story, but then I had a real loose script that I'd give them. I'd say, "Hey, this is the scene where you guys are trapped in this situation, and tell them this." And then they would send me back their versions of stuff. So they were such good actors on it. I wish I had an Oscar for each one of them.
That's awesome. Yeah, so that's interesting. So they kind of you kind of collaborated on the writing too, then.
Yeah. You know what? And one of the things on the credits of the movie, I put written by Jim Lujan, and then I put like the other credits in there. And immediately, right after I released it, I was kicking myself. In fact, I changed it everywhere else. It should be more like, written by Jim Lujan and Counterclockwise, or story by Jim Lujan and Counterclockwise, because we both put, different things into it. They really flavored it. I also realized in making this that I'm not the type of, I always wondered how I would be, like if I worked with other, because I've worked alone for so long. I wondered if I worked with other people, would I be the type of director that, like, no, you have to say it exactly like this, say each word exactly like this. And I realize I'm not. I'm way more like the improv, like just, say something funny and we'll make it work. I'm more that school of thought.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. So that's kind of interesting that you work that way and you're kind of that's how you operate. But with animation, I would assume everything's got to be pretty much planned out. I mean, I've played around with it a little bit, but not enough to really know how it works that well.
It does, as long as, well, we always had a blueprint, and
Yeah.
we knew where we were gonna go. And I did send them a script. Like if I had a scene, I'd send them 6 or 7 lines, but they knew they had the freedom to just ad lib too, or send me an alternate version. So we
Right.
always knew where we were going, but the exact phrasing of stuff, I wanted them, the way I look at it this way too. If you're working with somebody and you're choosing to work with them, then you kind of want what they're bringing to the table. So it's like I don't believe in restricting people like that. Like no, you have to be my vision of you. It's like I just want something that's going to be entertaining, and you want something that's going to work, and you want something that's not corny. So
Okay. So basically, what I'm getting is, you can kind of ad lib, and I'm assuming what you probably would have had to do is pretty much animate after the recording is how you basically do it. I guess that makes sense more now that I'm thinking about it. But,
you know what? That actually, if I had a regular common sense mind, that would make perfect sense. But I ended up a lot of times drawing the scenes as I sent them the script,
Right.
and then getting the lines back and say, okay, I'll just match it to this or match it to that. Very few times, it happened a few times, but very few times did I animate after I had their dialogue. So,
Right.
yeah, and they didn't know what their characters, what they look, what they were doing. Like they didn't have any visual. I kind of just said, say it this way. So it really was, you talk about being on the same wavelength. We were always on the same wavelength, because I think they kind of knew the feel. Once they saw the first couple of minutes of the movie, they knew the feel. They knew, and we both trusted each other a lot. And the most, both of us had the common goal of making something really entertaining. That's the bottom line. We want, because if you're going to watch this in a theater or with an audience, you don't want to break out in the nervous sweats.
No doubt, no doubt. So, wow, there's so many ways I could go with this because it's so, honestly, it's really super interesting to me because for the longest time, even in high school, like way back 20 years ago, I've always kind of, I don't know if you may or may not, but I make like hip hop music. And I've always thought like one of the ultimate things that I could do with my music is like make a basically a musical, like a hip hop musical with animation. I always thought of that and I was like, oh man. And then I saw you started doing these videos for these guys and I'm like, that is so cool. I gotta like see if I could talk to Jim about working together or something. But all kinds of things happen. I never did actually approach at that point. I was also trying to do it myself, a little bit, seeing if I could do it. But I was wondering, do you still, I know in the past you used Flash a lot. Is that how you still animate or?
I use Flash, yeah. I use it as an kind of an, not an editing tool, but an animating tool. So I draw everything on paper, or I draw it just, in fact, Foreverland's the first time I ever used a little bamboo stylus. Or,
oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. And I started leaning on that heavily. Like, I started cheating a lot. but I just draw everything. Like, I don't want it to look like a Flash cartoon, you know. And then there's not, that's a good look for some people, but for me, I wanted to have more shadows and blurs and stuff. So I just use Flash to move things around. But I mean, it's funny. You understand that. Animators understand that. But the rest of the world that has heard of Flash, they just think, if you do it animated on the computer, it's a Flash cartoon. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, technically, if this was a courtroom, I would have to give you a flat yes. Yes, Your Honor, I used Flash, but I used it in a weird way.
But you use, like, Photoshop or GIMP or something like that to actually get the images. And it is, it's an interesting combination because, I've seen a lot of animated things on YouTube and things like that, but you can tell, like, with yours, like, there's such an environment to it, you know, and it's weird because it's such, like, kind of, I don't know how, the drawings are, like, crazy, like, I'm trying to think, like, they're kind of, like, almost like a Beavis and Butthead, like you said, Mike Judge was kind of, like, one of your influences, like, that kind of style. But then you put, like, all the little shadows in there, and then the blurs, and then, I don't know, it's really cool. You make, like, a total environment, and it's definitely got almost a cinematic feel, pretty different even than some professional stuff you might see.
Yeah, it's a weird mix of being really homemade, hand-drawn, homemade, do-it-yourself. It's a mix of that and a mix of, like you said, cinematic.
Right.
So it's almost like one-third Mike Judge, one-third Ralph Bakshi, one-third, I'm going to run out of thirds in a minute. Wait, let me look at my math book. Hold on. But it's got a little bit of everything, and it definitely has my, like, style in it. And my style is, I'm influenced by a lot of different people. People like Jim Mahfood. I mean,
yeah, I definitely see that in there.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine, and years ago when I first saw his style, I mean, he draws just so smart. Like, the way he draws a hand or the way he draws a car or something like that. I didn't ever try to ape it, but it does seep into your skull, right, and get influenced. I mean, I'm influenced by guys who, you look at my stuff and you go, no, you're not influenced. Like, guys like John Byrne. Like, there's no John Byrne in my artwork, but he's a huge influence on me. And a guy named Mike Zeck, another comic book artist.
Right.
No influence, but there's, I mean, no visual evidence of that. But yeah, I take influences from a lot of different people, and it just kind of boils down into that look. So somebody told me one time, a long time ago, that one of the most valuable things you can have as an artist is a unique, definitive style.
Right.
So they know that you, like, oh, this is a Marshall drawing, or this is a Jim Lujan drawing, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of artists are looking for that definitive style, and it's oftentimes a struggle to find that. I kind of feel like I got one, sort of, but I don't know if I really like it. But you know, I'm definitely looking towards that, because really it's actually, like, a pretty good marketing, you know, thing. You know, it, you know, like you said, people know, you know, they know you by your style, and they want to, like, kind of look for that style once they see it, you know? So it's really interesting. Another thing I wanted to comment on with the counterclockwise thing is, man, not only the music is really cool, it's got, like, that whole funky thing, and I saw in the credits that you both worked on it together to a certain extent, and also the cinematic environmental type of stuff with the sound effects. I mean, that's, like, just some straight up really I don't know. It's very, I don't know how to explain it. I guess cinematic is the best way to
Yeah.
explain it, but it definitely is impressive to hear, and it definitely gives like a whole nother dimension, I would think, to the animations.
Thanks, man. I appreciate the adjective cinematic because that's what I want to do. I want to make movies. That's like, I wish I could make a movie a week, like an hour-long movie a week. That would
Yeah.
be, if I had a magic wand, I'll do that. Just the music. Well, a lot of it. Okay, a lot of the atmospheric stuff. If it's a mood and it's really just synthesizers or something like that. A lot of that was me. And if the stuff has a beat, especially if it has a good beat, it's counterclockwise. But we also would add to each other's recordings. Like, for example,
Really?
yeah, on the soundtrack, I did what's called the pill. There's a character called the Pillbilly in this movie,
Right.
and I did this really weird guitar song to it, and I sent it to Counterclockwise, and Deacon remixed it. And he added a beat to it, and it's like if you hear it on the soundtrack, it's one of my favorite songs on the soundtrack, and it's just like he just made it amazing. And then the same thing with then there's something like the there's a group in the movie called the Funk Giants,
Yep.
and they have their own theme that they play, and that one Kaya played a bass line and Deacon made a beat, and they just sent me a bass line and a beat. And then I added all these guitars and synthesizers and stuff to it. So I fleshed that one out. So that's
Wow.
why, yeah, the music's by. And then there's songs where it's completely counterclockwise. There's a song they do called Cosmonaut Rock or The Morning Song. It's like that's 100% them. And then there's a few that I just did by myself. So it's a really is a mix. You know what's really cool about it too? There's like no ego in the making of this too. It's like none of this, like, well, you have to list that I played the tambourine on that song because, it was very natural and we had
Yeah.
fun with it.
You gotta love when that happens for sure.
Yeah, I really, I don't know, I believe in not making things more difficult than they need to be
Right.
because I am, I think, by nature, kind of a lazy person. And I don't mean lazy. I'm not lazy in where I don't get things done because I really do get things done, but I'm lazy when it comes to like, well, that's a lot of work. So it's like, well,
You don't want to maybe you don't want to sweat over the details or
or just
something.
what's it eat? Well, no, I mean even that I do because I get real OCD when it comes to like, oh, okay, I'm gonna, this relates to this and this relates to that. But when it comes to like executing something, I try to find the easiest way. Well, the easiest way that will give me the biggest payoff. That is how my brain is wired. So, I
I mean,
probably I
I
wouldn't
think
be
I
good
do
at building
that.
bridges. So.
Yeah, no, I think I do the same similar thing, and the thing is it's all whatever it is that you do, it's all in service, obviously, when you watch, it's very evident, it's all in service to the story. I mean, there's I've I read a lot of comic books sometimes, and like you're like a lot of times, like I'll read a comic book and I'll be like, I don't really even know what happened right there. Like, I don't, it's not clear. Like, I know this happened and this happened and there was a really cool fight scene, but did anything just happen? But like your movie, like, and I've noticed this in all your other shorts too, there's very clear line of storytelling, and there's definitely a beginning, middle, and end, and it's really cool to see, good storytelling come through like that.
I think keeping it simple, especially when you're doing it yourself, keeping it, I mean, you can tell a complex story, but it has to be. Like he has to have a payoff. Like the audience has to watch it, and then at the end of it, go, okay, I don't feel gypped. I feel like, or they have to be involved too. Like, and you're in the middle of a story, I don't want the audience to go, oh man, did I make my lunch for tomorrow? I gotta, or you want them to be interested. And one of the things I go by too, I'd much rather have a movie end and people go, wait a minute. We want more. I'd rather them then do that than just like, oh, they're already walking out the door, like when the credits come out, you know.
Right. And it just like maybe keeps going and keeps going, and
yeah. And it's
you
hard, and
just
that's
want it
hard.
to end.
Yeah, that's an ego thing too. You have to really wrestle your ego when there's something you're real attached to, and then you got to cut it because it works better without it.
Yeah.
So that's one of the hardest things too, because as you're creating, you just want to keep everything. And I do sometimes keep everything, and sometimes I shouldn't have, but that's one thing that's a good skill to have.
Right, right. Absolutely. You got it. That's what they say. You got to kill your babies.
Yeah.
So yeah, wow. There's, I feel like I could just talk forever just on this one movie, but, well, one thing I did want to ask, because you did mention soundtrack, is that something that you guys have made available as like a something you could buy, download, or anything? Or?
Yeah, and Deacon and Kaya, counterclockwise, they kind of took the reins in the soundtrack, assembling it, and Deacon did an amazing job. If I didn't ever have anything to do with this movie, just listening to the soundtrack, the way he inserted dialogue from the soundtrack, and it builds a story, and then it goes into a song, and then in the song there's little bits and sound effects from the movie. It's just so interesting, and it's so, and it's really, it takes you on like a kind of, it gets you pumped, like the way it just, it builds up and then it slows down, and it's a really good soundtrack. But yeah, you can get the soundtrack, the DVD, the poster, the underwear, you can get all of that at I think you can get it at forever-land.com.
Right.
I do know you can get the soundtrack there. Like, the soundtrack's already available online. The DVD, we're more kind of like selling here and there, and we're shopping it around for distribution too.
Have you ever, I'm assuming that, you know, Deacon's probably up on this stuff, but have you ever used something like Bandcamp or anything to get like the music out and stuff?
I think they are on Bandcamp. That's what. Yeah, I think they're doing a lot of it through Bandcamp. It's pretty good.
Sweet, sweet, cool. I'll definitely look into that, because that would definitely be fun to listen to. And then you said it has the words from the movie too, or is it just like partially?
Yeah. No, it has. Like, there'll be a scene. Like, there's our villain in it is named Infinitus.
Yes.
And he has a theme song, and I think like going into the theme song, you hear some lines. And by the way, Scott Hines from Fanboy Radio plays Infinitus. He did a great job.
Oh yeah, a lot of energy in that character.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's you know, it's funny when Scott did it. It was everything was first take, because I was like, I've known Scott for over like 10 years, and it's like, Scott, I already know you, and you know what kind of character this is. Just go. Like, he ran with it, you know. And
sure.
But yeah, his lines are mixed in with the like the music, and it's really, really cool, like the way they did it. It really builds up an atmosphere for the
nice.
Whole soundtrack.
I'll definitely be checking that out for sure. Let's see, what else did I have here? Well, I guess the other thing I really wanted to talk about was about I don't know exactly how long ago it was, but I feel like it was sometime middle of last year. You know, I heard the announcement that you were going to be working with Bill Plimpton.
Which
is amazing announcement to hear. And then I looked on your website today, and it said it's a production starting in 2014. Is that something that started yet, or?
Well, yeah. That meant that I was writing the script.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm done with the script. I already sent it in, and it's all good. The movie's called Revengeance, and I literally got a call. Well, let me jump back a little bit. I met Bill Plimpton through a mutual friend of mine, Ken Mora, and just ran into him a few times at different events. Never, ever, ever asked him for anything. Never said, "Hey, Bill, you know, hook me up." But I did give him my DVD the first time I met him, because we interviewed him. You know, Man vs. Art, the radio show. Raul invited me along with him to interview Bill for the show, and I gave him a DVD then, and he watched it months later, and he really liked it. And cut to, I don't know, 2 years later, and I got a phone call from him, and he said, "Hey, how would you be interested in working on a movie together. And when he said that, I was like, well, I was excited. I was like, yeah, for sure. But then I started thinking about it, and I was like, well, wait, does he mean, like, do I want to color his movie? Or does he mean, like, you know, I didn't know what he meant.
Right.
And then right away he told me, he's like, no, you would write it, design the characters. Like, I want to use your world. And then voice a lot of it. And then you could even handle the music too. And I'm like, I was just like, this is like winning the lottery, Bill. This is, yeah, heck yeah. And then not only is it a great opportunity, but I truly, as a fan of movies, I believe it's a really good mix. It's like when you get to music artists that team up and you're like, wow, that's going to be really good. You know, and I think our styles, and our senses of humor, things he brings, things I bring, I think it's going to make for a really good movie. And then the other part where I can be cocky about is I think the script is really funny. It's really good. It's a good story. And it's not definitely not going to be a story that just goes nowhere, you know, or like is real self-indulgent. It has a really good story that's going to keep people hooked. And it has a ton of weird, funny characters in it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be, and Bill, it has a lot of bikers in it, and Bill loves to draw motorcycles. So he's getting his birthday wish.
So. Nice. Wow. That's an absolute. That's just amazing to.
Yeah. He's gonna start work on that sometime, I think, in June, because we're planning to have some kind of short preview for Comic-Con.
Oh, okay, wow.
I mean, some sort of opening scene or something. And then towards the end of the year, he'll be full-on in it. And so right now, the script's done, though. That's cool. And a lot of the characters are designed, too.
Yeah, no, that's really cool, because I think that, I think you're right. Like, aesthetically, it does... it does seem like your styles, even though they're totally different visually, and I know you're going to be handling less of the visual side so much, but, you know, there's totally different. But you can see, yeah, the way, kind of like you said, your humor is similar, and the way you guys both kind of like to twist your worlds, you know, to really interesting, you know, levels, I think is similar. And the fact that he's going to be playing in your world, like your kind of type of characters and your design, the characters, that's even really, I don't know, like I'm definitely looking forward to that for sure. I said, your storytelling is one of your biggest strengths, so I think that's going to just translate well, I think.
I'm kind of playing like a point guard, you know, where you want to set the guy up for a lob.
Right.
You know, and Bill's this big shack coming down on the rim, you know. But everything I did, like when I wrote it, I left space and room for Bill to just go wild and have fun with it, you know. So there's a lot of visual gags he can do, and there's a lot of, it'll have a lot of atmosphere in it, but there's plenty of room for Bill Plimpton to do Bill Plimpton, because it's what you want when you go see a Bill Plimpton movie. You want him to be Bill Plimpton.
Well, I think he's the type of animator, too, that's where he thrives, is when he can take something and just play around with it and make it look cool, and you know, like that's kind of his thing. So, you know, it's that's cool that you give him that room, and you know, I definitely, like I said, I look forward to it for sure.
Oh, thank you. Me too.
Yeah, I know. I could imagine. I've worked with, you know, done a lot of collaborations with different people with music and stuff mostly, and every time I get a chance to work with some of these different people, I'm usually already a fan of that person, you know, so it's like it's always like kind of a blessing, you know. It's really cool. What about events? Have you you've been still really doing a lot of screenings and stuff? And
yeah, I did a screening in Pasadena of Foreverland few weeks back, and that went really, like, the audience really liked it. I'm doing another one. This will probably come out after or before, but it's on May 15th it's in a college in Claremont, California called Pitzer College, and that one's going to be in an actual real theater, stadium seating, theater sound and everything. And Counterclockwise played Foreverland at a theater in Cleveland in this festival, and the audience was not, it wasn't a stacked audience. It wasn't an audience that they brought. It was just an audience that, you know, paid right. to go to the festival. And they said, I'm not sure, I think it got a standing ovation. I know Deacon said the audience went crazy for it, like huge applause. Wow. And like, and now he's feeling like I felt after I showed it the first time. He's like, I got to do this again. We got to show this again. So, you know, because when I left after the Pasadena screening, I was like, okay, I got to do this again right away. Like,
so it's like addictive.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, especially if you didn't feel that good about something, you might be like, well, that worked, but I don't know if I ever want to. This one I was like, oh no, this is good.
And you're proud of it.
Well, I even got to watch it as an audience member. Like when I sat down to watch it, and I forgot that I did it. I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I like this movie.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. It's hard to get that perspective as an artist, especially on something like animation, because it's so involved. It's not, you know, you're not just like putting a drawing out and like putting it on Instagram or something. You're working, you're sweating over this thing.
Right.
You're inside of it. It's just like nuts. So how long did it, and this is always a weird question, I guess, but how long did it end up like totally taking you to put that movie together?
You know what? It was almost a year to the day, but there's the big parentheses of this. During that year, I got the Bill Plimpton news, and then I got news for this television project that I assembled. So there was huge breaks in the middle of it. There was a month where I could barely work on it here and there. So if I sat down to just do Foreverland and I had nothing else but Foreverland to work on, it would have been probably 6 months. Maybe 6 or 7 months, and I for sure would have finished it. But it took a year, which still is not that bad. That's still pretty good.
Right. I mean, before, like when, and I don't know how active you've been with putting out your shorts and stuff, or if it's pretty much been mostly this lately, because these are really big projects. But I remember, you know, and I don't know if you had them like stacked up or something, but you'd be putting out, you know, a short, it seemed like almost weekly or maybe monthly or something at least. And I'm like, even if it's monthly, it's like, this guy's working hard, because animation is no joke.
Yeah, it was one a month. I think for 6 months in a row, like in 2011, 12 or something like that, there was about 6 or 7, maybe even 8 months in a row I put out a short a month. That was like my goal, to do one a month. What I've realized, though, I love doing shorts. Shorts are great, and I will always do them here and there, but I really like doing longer movies. Like, just the act of showing them in front of an audience, just the fact that you don't have to go up there in between each one and go, okay, here's the next cartoon. You just like sit down, watch it, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. I love that. I love the whole big project thing. It's fun to me, and I think I'm hooked on that.
Oh, nice. Good. Then we can look forward tomorrow.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So, that's really cool. How about, so is that what you do in these events? You screen it and then you like have a little bit of a talk, question and answer type of thing afterwards?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the usual, well, especially with these long ones. But the shorts, a lot of times, I've done plenty of like exhibitions of showing my short films. And I think most of the time, like one will play and then I'll go up in between and introduce the next one. And by the time that the thing's over, I've talked already so much, I'm like, okay, there's nothing else to know. But with these, the longer movie, this is the first time I've ever really got to play a longer movie like this. It's like watching a movie, you know, a regular movie. I plan to do a Q&A at this next event in Claremont. In Pasadena, I kind of did a Q&A. Everybody that asked questions, I knew them already. So I think they were just helping me out. But no, I'd love to do that. I would love to do that. That's like a dream of mine, is to be able to tour a film, You know, that would be so much fun to be able to play, like, to say that, oh, yeah, we're playing Foreverland in Kansas City, then we're going to play it in, you know, St. Louis and Chicago, and, you know, then we're going to Florida.
I wonder, have you talked to people to see kind of how that kind of works? Because, I mean, I know there's obviously, like, film festivals and stuff. I would assume that's kind of the route you would kind of take.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny. We just had our meeting yesterday, Counterclockwise and I, and we planned out a bunch of festivals that we want to play in.
Right.
So that we'll know as the year goes on. We'll know more about that. But they're going to definitely enter it in a bunch of festivals. And if anybody hears this show and they want to play it at a festival or play it at an event, just feel free to contact us or me. Anybody.
You know, I wonder too. There's a couple possible opportunities I would think of, and maybe you've already explored these, but like comic convention panels, if they're big enough that they have panels. I wonder if that would be a place you could do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then also, what was the other one I was thinking? Oh, you're obviously on the West Coast, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure exactly which area you live in, but
I'm in Beverly Hills. No, I'm just kidding. I'm in the outskirts of L.A.
Okay, so you're right near kind of where a lot of this stuff happens. Is like I've been getting into like these designer toys and stuff like that, and it's crazy because it's really fun to get into. I have, you know, a couple friends here who I work with and stuff, but at the same time, like, almost everything is going on basically where you live. I live on the East Coast, so I'm like, oh, this is rough, you know. But luckily, at least I'm near New York, so there's a little bit of activity for that. But yeah, that's one thing. Maybe those venues would be a type of thing, because they're always have, like, on any given weekend, they're having like 3-4 shows, you know, of new galleries and stuff. I wonder if that would be a place, some of the places you could go to.
You know what? I'm
'cause it's kind of related, you know.
Yeah, I'm totally game for that. I'll play Foreverland at Bingo Night if they ask me. So yeah, I'm totally up for all of that, and anywhere that has a good sound system.
Yeah, definitely. I mean that definitely enhances it, I would think.
Yeah, and I do have my own. I have a digital DVD projector.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the greatest sound, but I have projector will travel.
Nice, awesome. So yeah. I don't know. Is there what else is there going on? Is there anything else you'd like to kind of talk about that you've been up to?
Let's see. Oh, yes. I will tell you this. I'll give you an exclusive here.
Oh, sweet.
I don't know if you're familiar with Sanjourno Must Die. I did it was a series for the Rugburn Channel.
I think I do remember that, but it's been a while.
Yeah, that came out about a year. Oh, I started it about a year ago. And it ended probably sometime end of last year. But it was a 10-part series. It's very, like, 80s kind of Miami Vice or Brian De Palma-ish. And it's really, like, cheesy 80s synth music. And it's, like, a whole drug, you know, dealer scene and that whole bit. But it's a comedic thing I did. Anyways, it was 10 parts, and for anybody that watched it, I have assembled all of the 10 parts together and added bonus footage in the middle and connecting footage and footage at the beginning and the end and stuff, and I made like a little movie out of it. It's about half an hour long movie.
Okay.
So there's a Sanjourno Must Die movie exists, and I will definitely keep everybody posted where they could see it. Hopefully, I don't know, maybe it'll end up on iTunes. I'm going to talk with some folks at Titmouse to find out what, you know, the possibilities are with it. Because I definitely feel very, very happy and confident with that. It works. It works a lot better as a movie, I think, than it does as shorts. So
right.
That's one of my favorite things I've done, too.
Sweet. Yeah, I think... the most kind of the thing, one of the ones that I remember, what was that, the character, And I have to apologize. I'm not too up on all the characters. It's been a while because I got a little distracted here off of the animation route. But but there was what was the one, the guy in the prison and he's like the cult leader? I'm trying to think.
John Henry Unicorn.
Oh man.
Yeah. People like, you know what? And one day, I'm telling you, one day that character will get a movie because he needs a movie.
He's
the Reverend John Henry Unicorn, the leader of the Unicornian Church.
It's perfect, man. So awesome. Other than that, I guess we'll let everybody know again where you, they can get your stuff, get your movies and stuff, and we can probably close this out.
Yeah, you go to jimlujan.com. That's JimLujan.com, and all of the info will be there. And if somebody's interested in screening Foreverland at an event, just hit me up. Let me know. I'll play conventions. I'll play galleries. I'll play funeral parlors. I'll play anything.
Sweet. I live in a funeral parlor.
Nice.
Yeah. No. It's an apartment above a funeral thing. So.
Wow. You got ghosts passing right through your floors every night.
Exactly. The cats are going nuts. But so that definitely, and everybody listening, absolutely, I recommend, checking Jim Lujan's stuff out. I've been a fan for, about, I don't know, three, however long you've really been making these, I've been kind of up on it. So I love them. Always a lot of laughs, and always a good story, too. So definitely check out his YouTube channel, especially. What's your YouTube URL?
If you go to YouTube and just put JimLujan, Jim Lujan.
It'll come up.
Yeah, right? It'll come up. That's the name of the channel.
So, yeah, definitely I would suggest go checking that out, and especially this new movie that he came out with, because it's really cool. That's about it, man. I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I appreciate you recording it for me too, because I didn't know how to do. I haven't done an interview in so long, so.
Yeah, I'm helpful in every way, man. Helpful in every way. Hey, before we sign off, I want to throw one thing out there. I forgot. I'm doing ads too, commercials. So, if anybody has a business out there and they're interested in a commercial, plug, plug, plug.
That would be absolutely cool to see more of that. I did see on your website that you did one for that pizzeria or whatever.
Yeah. I just did one for the Latino Comics Expo, too. That's up there now, too.
Oh, sweet.
So, yeah.
Nice. Alrighty, so that is the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Jim Lujan. And thank you again for coming on the show, man.
All right, man. Have a good one. Thank you, man. Thank you, Marshall. Appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime, man.